Hey everybody, it's Nick here from Grayscale Gorilla Podcast, and in this episode, Chris and Chad and I, we all share some of our favorite tools and tips and movies and books from the last year that really helped us, you know, do better work and be better people, all that fun stuff. We go through some of our favorite stuff from 2016 and share that with you guys. Couple other quick announcements before we get into today's episode. First is a shout out to Zachary Robinson from Layer Frame, who graciously shepherded us and the website through a huge change in our iTunes and podcast platform. We actually rehosted, or he actually rehosted all of our old podcasts on a new platform. And that allows a couple fun things. It allows us to put out podcasts much easier, much quicker. And also, it now allows you to go back into Grayscale Gorilla podcast history and listen to episodes as early as 2011. And there's some good stuff back there. However you're listening to our podcast, if you go into the archive and start scrolling, you'll see interviews from people like G Monk back there, EJ, you know, we got EJ from iDesign interviews, and even way back. I mean, you'll be surprised on some of the special guests we had on the podcast, and also some of my favorite podcasts that really weren't available as easily before. Things like my Obsession podcast that I did a few years ago. You can actually just go back and listen to those as well. So thanks again to Layer Frame for helping us with that. That's a huge help. And one other announcement, I just wanted to take a second and thank you guys for listening to this podcast. It's been a really fun experiment for us to do one of these a week. We hope it brings you value. We really appreciate all the reviews that we'd be getting on iTunes. That helps us out a ton, gets the word out. And, you know, if you have a friend that you think they might like one of these episodes, just share it with them directly. That'd be a big help to us and for them as well. If it brings you value, it might bring somebody else value as well. So thanks again. I hope you guys have a wonderful New Year's. And with that, let's head on into today's podcast right now. Hey guys, welcome. Happy Wednesday. How's everyone feeling today?
Doing good, doing good.
Doing feeling well. Good.
Happy holidays.
We got Chad Ashley here, and we got Chris Schmidt looking good. Is that a new sweater? Did you get something for Christmas there, Chris?
No, just my regular nice warm sweater.
Oh, it looks cozy, man. Any good gifts this year? We're kind of in between Christmas and New Year's right now. Well, as we're recording this, kind of got that end of the year feel. How you guys feeling? Did you get anything fun for the holidays?
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of cool stuff. I'm still a little bit sad right now. I'm still dealing with the loss of Carrie Fisher. It's just kind of bumming me out still, but I'm going to try my best to like put on my happy face.
It's been a rough year, man.
I know.
You know, not to make it more of a bummer, but everybody's kind of freaking out about 2016. But isn't this the baby boomer generation of celebrities? There's just a lot of them. This isn't going to change in the future. This is the new normal.
So celebrities are going to drop like flies for the next 10 years.
There's just that many celebrities.
There really is. And it's true because, like, I think you're right. You're absolutely right. People are hitting that age where they, if they led an unhealthy life or maybe they didn't take care of themselves, that they're going to die. And we're starting to see that. It's really sad because these are all people that our generation, celebrity-wise, grew up with. So David Bowie and so on. Like, these are kind of our heroes and our people that we look up to, and it's kind of sad to see them go like this.
Yeah, know? I think that's also contributing to kind of this higher number feeling where it's not only that we know more people, like that, like we're getting older too. So the people that we grew up with and that we watched and their movies are also getting older. But there's also this idea that, you know, we get to see so many more things. Like there's not three channels anymore, you know. There's so many more people and celebrities that you get to know around the world, and as they go, it's the numbers just keep going up. So it's sad. It's big. Bowie, Prince. That's all I needed. That's all I needed to make a sad year for me.
I saw somebody put together like a Kickstarter or a Patreon or something to put a fund together to help Betty White make it through the year.
Just wrap her in
like,
bubbles.
Like, no, like we have to stop 2016.
Put her in a cryogenic sleep.
Yeah. All right, 4 years left. We could do this. Let's go, Betty.
Oh, man.
Well, what else happened? You know, actually, I had something kind of interesting happen over the holidays that was actually related to stuff that I should probably know more about, and I wanted to share it with you guys. My brother-in-law got one of those VR headsets that I always thought was kind of a gimmicky little toy thing. It's like $50. You put your phone in it. And I was like, what does that do exactly? You know, I never tried it. I've tried the bigger versions of VR. You know, I've tried the
Oculus
and the Vive or whatever that one is.
Yeah.
I've tried, but these little plastic things were always like, all right, this is like the gimmick, right? This is whatever. So my brother-in-law got one. Both of my brothers-in-law got one from both sides of the family. And I actually learned that you could go onto YouTube and click any 360 video and turn that 360 video into like goggle mode. And I had no clue. That's cool. I had no clue this was a thing. So, and it doesn't have to be stereo. The reason I'm bringing this up is because there's so many videos out there that are shot just plain 360 that you could turn on goggle mode and then put the goggles on, and as you turn your head around, actually be able to look around this video. So we got really excited. We rode roller coasters. We went skydiving. You know, we passed this little plastic thing around with a phone in front of it and watched like half a dozen things. There's a Star Wars short film that they made. A lot of this is probably for those of you who follow VR a little. I'm showing how behind
is this,
I am.
Is this things. A podcast from 2014 that just like was in a time capsule?
Well, here's why I brought it up and why I got excited was I realized I shot and published on YouTube about five different 360 videos over the last year. A couple of them were of me skiing. So I put the 360 camera on my ski pole and took like a 10-minute ski run. And I found that video and put it in the goggles and was able to literally stand in my parents' kitchen and turn my head around and see me and see the mountains and see where I was going. And it was seamless. It just worked. And I had no clue how easy it is to go from front to back on this VR process. To buy a $300 360 camera, to take it anywhere, record it, put it on YouTube, and then YouTube and these headsets do all the hard work, which is split it up into stereo. Now, I understand it's not stereo. It's still a flat image, but it's still putting
but
it on.
It splits the two different eyes together.
Right. And then, of course, all the gyro stuff in the phone takes care of all the looking around. But
is this the Samsung Gear?
No, this is the Theta, Ricoh Theta.
No, 360. The goggles that they had.
He had the Zeiss brand.
Zeiss brand.
Yeah, Zeiss, like the lens brand. I'll find out what that one's called. It's called like VR Gear or something. But it was like white and black plastic. It looked really nice. And the coverage of the eyes and everything was really good. It was for however much it was, you know, I'm a lot of those I just assume are around like the $50 range. Understanding that you put a $600 piece of technology in front of that piece of plastic, but still, like, if you already have it in your pocket for $60 more, you could actually go watch any 360 video and understand what this is. So this actually got me interested in things that we could pull off with cinema, even without even having to worry about stereo. I guess to me I was amazed on how good it was without needing the stereo part of it, and how immersive it was just as like looking around a 360 video. So I wanted to say that for anybody out there that's looking at these plastic things on the shelf and thinking that it's more of a gimmick, it was really immersive for, you know, for $50.
Yeah, they've gotten pretty cheap too. I mean, you've got the Samsung Gear, which is, I think, kind of the one that you see on TV the most, which kind of works with the Samsung Galaxy line of phones. Is that what he had? Did he have a Samsung Galaxy phone, or what kind of phone?
This one worked with my iPhone, and it worked with his Samsung. It worked with both.
Yeah. So once it's in, do you have to get an app for that pair of goggles at all? No.
Just
kind of new.
You go to YouTube. And even YouTube has a part of it that will ask you to take a photo of what brand it is.
Yeah, like the little code.
Yeah, it makes you take a, it doesn't force it, but I think what it does is it re-centers like where the center of the video is based on what goggles you're using. So I was just amazed like how closely linked all that was. So thank you, YouTube. Google added again this year, surprising me at every turn. Thank you. But really, really cool. And the fact that you can hand it to like my grandma, who was like looking around, you know, and amazed, to my my wife, who was like terrified of heights, who was like on a tightrope and like grabbing on the furniture so she didn't fall while she was like walking across the tightrope. It was just, it worked really well for what it was. And it got me thinking where maybe a little bit further with this VR stuff than I previously thought.
Yeah, that's, I came really close to buying the the Google Daydream View, which is kind of their goggles, but they decided like, all right, we're not going to do like space age plastic goggles. We're going to do goggles that are comfortable, that are made of cloth and don't hurt your head, and they're cheap. I think it's like, I want to say they're like $60 for a pair of these goggles.
Now that comes with like a little handset too, right?
Yeah, and it comes with a clicker, which is kind of interesting because then you can play games with it and like point at stuff. And I thought about like, I thought about getting that, but then I played with, we had a bunch of these VR headsets went back when I worked at DK, and every time I'd put them on, I'm like really into it, but then I'd realize that there's so little content like from a gaming perspective out there for these yet still. I mean, there's plenty of options if you're doing a Vive or like a really like a dedicated headset, Oculus type thing, but the more the gear and even the Daydream, there's just not a ton of games out there yet. And also, too, the phones, I think, need to get a little bit better resolution and a little bit, you know, be able to process these images faster and easier, because when I played with them, the phone would always get so hot, like it would like it would almost like, yeah, like burn out your phone. I was afraid of. But yeah, it has come a long way, though, man. And like, I think YouTube has done a great job in embracing 360 video just all together, because you know, you can actually, you don't even need the goggles, you can watch a 360 video and like look around, and if it's on your phone you can just like move your phone around. So yeah, that's really cool. I'm really I have the same camera as you do, Nick, and I feel like I don't do enough with it, you know, like it's usually just sitting on my shelf over there. And
honestly, for the last few months, I've done the same thing, and it makes me want to experiment a little bit more. I'll actually link up that 360 ski video. If anybody out there has one of the headsets, you can watch me go ski out in Salt Lake City in 360. I'm sure it's first thing on your list as soon as you stop listening to this podcast. But it is. I want everybody to check it out because it's such a low cost of entry to go from making your own. I always like it when regular people could just go make it, right? There's always, that's kind of how I viewed VR in the past, was like, you needed all the gear and you needed new editing tools and you needed all this new stuff to learn. And we just weren't there yet. And by watching myself ski, what I realized was a $300 camera plus a $50 piece of plastic got you from start to finish on a VR, where you could record what you want and then put yourself back there again. And that got me thinking about it in a different way. It was pretty, pretty fun. Well, I know it'll be a little bit of a shorter one today. Chris had a good idea. It's getting toward the end of the year, and maybe we could share some of the, toys, tools, books, movies, some of our favorite things from the last year, from 2016, before we start a new one. And if you guys are ready, I think we can get started. Chris, you it's your idea. You probably have more than any of us. What's one of your things this year that really that you've been digging?
Right. So I got a little list here. I'm going to throw out these two quick ones as honorable mentions that I'm not going to go into because I've talked about them in past podcasts. But I've got my awesome new PC laptop, which is from RazorZone.com. And I think I just got the Razor Blade, but there's also an even more powerful one, the Razor Blade Pro. And then the other thing I've given a shout out a couple times was Microsoft's OneNote, just for like note taking, and I thoroughly enjoy that. So those are some honorable mentions. But the first thing I'm going to start out with is going to be my Mr. Coffee 2-in-1 iced tea brewing system. It's just an iced tea maker. But I, for years, I've wanted like a really good iced tea maker, and like it, and I didn't want it to look dumb, and it's nice and black and sleek, and I can fill the jar up a couple times, and I just put it in the fridge instead of like immediately making iced tea. So I make super concentrated tea, and then I can just like mix it with water and ice and have it last for a week. And it's great because it's kind of my only source of caffeine. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink soda.
Use loose tea on it, or is it a pod system, or what? It's just bags. You just put regular tea bags.
I think you can even use loose tea. I just don't own any loose tea, so it's got like it's just
2017, year of loose tea for Chris, I think.
Oh yeah, start experimenting. Well, it's the kind of thing for years I've been just buying tea bags of various kinds, so I've been just working my way through my collection.
Just experimenting. What kind have you found works well with this system so far?
Well, every tea bag is working great. I mean, I just go for your generic Lipton tea, you know, where it's, I don't sweeten it or anything. Sometimes I throw in a splash of cranberry juice. Ooh. And then
no lemonade?
I do that. That's like my go-to drink when I'm out. I just don't keep lemonade in the house.
Mm. All right. That's
my number one iced tea maker.
This is good.
What else you got?
No, we got to go down.
Doing rounds?
Round robin, man.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know the format. We didn't talk about the format. I'm flustered.
You want me to go, Chad?
I don't know. Like, because to me, on my screen, I've got Chris, and then you, Nick, and then I'm last. But on your screen, I might be second. So do you want me to go?
I could go. I'm okay with that.
All right, you go.
I'll start with a website. It is called The Wire Cutter. And this site's been saving me a lot of mental thought time over the last year for sure. And what it is it's a review site. And they basically go super review popular things like TVs, headphones, Bluetooth headphones, computers, laptops, outdoor cameras, all this stuff like technology for your house, technology for your office. And what they do is they put together a list of here's our recommendation. And what they don't do is say, hey, here's the top 10 best. It's literally a place where you go and they say, hey, if you just want a good one that you know works and will do the job, just buy this one. And I've always wanted a site like that. I've always loved that site. And I've been using Wirecutter for a few years, but this is one of the years where I actually have gone to it and have just blindly trusted it. Whereas I rarely even read their reviews anymore. I just know that over the years I've kind of bought what they've recommended and it's always been a good pick. So when it comes to something that you're not a super geek about but you need. So for me, I have a standing desk I bought this year and I typed in good standing desks and Wirecutter did a huge breakdown of like, You could scroll for hours on Wirecutter. They get into so much detail. They buy them all. They set them all up. They talk about ease of use. They talk about warranties. They talk about all this stuff. But what I've done this year, which is different, is just literally go to their site, buy what they recommend, and not have that entire day of research where I get lost in the details. And I just have that type of personality where I get lost in the details so easily. Like, let's go watch every YouTube review on this one set of headphones. And I love that stuff, but it's such a waste of time sometimes. So anyway, I trust Wirecutter at this point. This desk has been awesome. I bought some headphones of theirs. I also bought even stuff like coffee makers, things like that, where you just want a good one and you don't want a lemon. Just go check out Wirecutter and give it a shot. Battery packs. Anyway, go check it out. If you haven't seen it, I love that site. They've saved me so much time.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
I just added that to my bookmark list. Very cool.
All right, you're up, buddy.
All right. I'll stay well, I don't know where to begin, really. I've so many things that I've picked up and kind of adopted in 2016 that I really like. But I think the one that's probably had the biggest impact I'll start with that one, which is switching, and you've heard me talk about it multiple times, but switching, getting rid of AT&T altogether and switching to Project Fi by Google has saved me a lot of money. And I really think that it's a phone service for the future, meaning that it's really simple to use. There's no hidden fees. There's no contracts. There's no paying off your phone for numerous years. I think they just have a really great idea of how paying for your cell phone should be. And a lot of people hit me in the comments before about, oh, you know, it's America. The carriers there suck. And in Europe, they're much easier to deal with. Well, that's great, but we live in America and they suck really bad and they gouge you at every turn and they're constantly redoing their deals to figure out new ways of keeping your money and keeping your business. So Project Fi by Google, highly recommend it. Pluses is that it's probably going to save you maybe 50% or more on your phone bill. Minuses, you're not going to be able to use an iPhone. You're going to have to jump into their ecosystem of phones, which I gladly did, which is my second favorite thing, my new Google Pixel phone. And if you're willing to do that, you're going to have yourself a much cheaper phone experience because it uses the Wi-Fi wherever you are to whenever you're near an open Wi-Fi, it encrypts your phone and uses that open Wi-Fi. It also uses three different cell carriers. So they don't have Google towers everywhere. They're using Sprint, US Cellular, and I think T-Mobile are the three carriers that they piggyback from. And what's unique about the Fi system is that it'll pick the best one of those three, no matter where you are. So if you're out, you know, if you're in the city and T-Mobile happens to have the best signal, it'll just use the T-Mobile. And then so on and so forth. If you're in a different part of the country where you have a cellular is stronger, highly recommend it. Great customer service. You can actually chat with customer service right from the phone, which is really great. And you know, if you work at home or if you're in an office all day with Wi-Fi and your phone is connected to Wi-Fi all day, why can't you use that for calls, for texts, for all the stuff? There's no reason to use your cell data for stuff like that if you're on Wi-Fi. So to me, this is my number one. Project Fi with the Pixel phone is my number one thing that I absolutely loved from 2016, from my favorite things.
Dig it.
Sweet.
And this is a good time to mention, I'm actually, as everyone's writing these or mentioning these, putting these in the show notes. Oh, and I see we got some links as well. Thank you, Chris, linking it up. So if you want to see the show notes, we actually put these up on YouTube and at our website at Grayscale Gorilla. If you search for the most recent podcast, you can find it there. And then that way you can just link out and click to go check out all these things. So, all right, Chris, you're up, man.
All right. I want to do a movie recommendation. Now, there's a bunch of pretty good movies this year, and you know, there's other ones I might recommend, but I thought we'd go with something a little weirder, something that you might not have watched. I want to recommend The Witch, which I think came out pretty early in the year, but I only watched it in the last couple of weeks. And it is a horror movie, and it pretty thoroughly creeped me out. And horror movies don't really creep me out. I don't want to get too much into details, but it like takes place back in like old timey New England, and they speak in period kind of talk, and they and the dialogue is lifted, like a lot of dialogue is lifted from like journals and writings and letters of the day. And it's pretty spooky. It's actually not rated that highly, but if you like horror movies, this is
that's a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's nice.
That's pretty good. That's pretty rare.
So yeah, I'm going to throw that out as a movie, right? And I'm not going to say anything else. If you like horror movies at all, check out The Witch. Even though it's spelled with like the two V's, because that's the way I think it used to be written back in the day. So two V's instead of a W. But yeah, there's just The Witch.
So they decided to take two V's, and then when they decided to come up with the letter that made the two V's, they called it a double U.
Yeah.
And a podcast comes to a screeching halt on that one.
I gotta go.
You just blew my mind.
I just gotta go find how two V's turn into a W. I need a. You know, I need a history lesson in our language.
Thanks.
Here.
Thanks, Chris. I'm going to check this out. Is it available to rent? Do we know?
I think if you have Amazon Prime, they have it for free on Prime right now.
Ooh.
Really? well, I do have that, and I will be watching this movie.
I will check that
out.
Also,
I recommend Amazon Prime.
Is it rated R? What's it rated?
Yeah, Amazon Prime.
Know.
Holy
moly. It's pretty freaky.
Okay, so no kids.
I'd say no.
All right, cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. So I guess I'm up. I'll go with a book. Got two books to recommend during this. I'll get the one I got earlier first. It's from the Draplin Design Company. Aaron Draplin is one of my favorite style of designers. He's got this, if you're looking at it on YouTube, I'm showing the cover.
That cover makes me want to have it.
Yeah. So he's got this really kind of vintage style. He loves, you know, old style, flat logo, not really gradient based stuff. It's really flat Illustrator style logos. And he's got a style. Here's probably what he's best known for is Field Notes. So he designed Field Notes. And he collected old field notes, what they used to be called, like that farmers had. Well, Chad's got some new field notes on his desk. And he made these books and started sending them out to friends. And, I don't need to tell the whole field note story, but Jim Coodall got one of those books and said, hey, we should make these and sell them to everybody. And that's the short version of how Field Notes got started. But he actually made that. Like, he started, that. If you know the design of Field Notes, you understand what his style is. So what I've really liked about not only this book is understanding that a designer can kind of have their style, and that's always been the case. But for him, it's such this unique, vintage, classic, you know, Futura style that I've been really trying to dig further into, like who now. I kind of do this with music. Whenever there's a band I really like, I want to figure out who that band's favorite bands are. You know, where did they get all of their sound, and where did they get all of what they love from? And what it seems like Aaron does by doing a lot of research and kind of watching all of his videos is that he literally collects as he walks around. Like he collects in junk stores, like old logos. There's a great video of him where he's walking around a junk store and he's looking for all these logos and in like on the undersides of all this stuff. And what he eventually does is he takes this big box full of junk and he just dumps the junk out on the floor and he looks at the bottom of the box. And the bottom of the box has like This Way Up logo that is like so old. And he's like, this is the stuff I'm looking for. Like, it's just an arrow with like some text under it. Anyway, he is quite a character as well. He's a great speaker and just been really digging this book and this style as well. He's pushing me into experimenting with a much more simple design style, which I've always felt like I've had a simple design style, but he's kind of making me feel better about it. You know what I mean? He's kind of making me go, I could actually just be very good at a simple style. Like sorry if you're listening to this, but these kind of like pages of just beautiful, simple typography.
So he, I love him too. Like he's a fantastic designer and I watch a lot of his stuff and I'm a huge fan of his work. And I noticed one thing that he did that I did this last year too, is like, he'll go to used bookstores and just look for, any sort of like branding or logo design from the 70s and 80s. 'Cause that's really where his, style comes from. It's like, corporate design from the 80s, that type of real bold Saul Bass kind of looking stuff. And I'll show you a book that I found I bought it because of Aaron Draplin or Draplin. I can't remember how to pronounce his name, but let me grab it real quick.
You got it. Oh, and Chad's up next too. We got a little, we need like standby music, like when the video goes bad.
So
one of you two has to make a theme song for.
So I found this podcast. I found this book in a used bookstore, and it's called Corporate Design International.
Just the cover looks awesome.
I know, and it was from, I believe, 1984. And I bookmarked. I always like to throw little post-its on things that I find interesting. And so, like, you'll find stuff like this that is right out of his style, you know. And he pulls a lot of that kind of, a lot of this kind of thing. Maybe not so much that one, but like this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Just like single line, single thickness line logos like that. I love that style.
So this is kind of where he'll comb the bookstores and look for this type, and he just soaks in all that stuff and comes up with his own twist on it. It's just really amazing. I didn't mean to hijack your thing. I just wanted to share that with you.
No, he's a great guy, interesting character. And another thing I really love about Aaron, before we move on, is he is a good designer that doesn't act like a designer. He doesn't like wear the fedora and like act like designers.
He's posted a video that people should watch of him.
Yeah, I've always liked that kind of personality of like, he just has this like, hey, I don't know, I like making this stuff, this is fun personality.
He's the everyman designer, the working man's designer.
He is definitely the working man.
He is totally. Yeah, so check him out. I guess that's my pick. Who is next? It's Chad.
Chad should be
it's up. Me. I kind of took some of yours, but I'll keep it quick. So I have been a big fan of this site called everydaycarry.com, which is kind of like your site, kind of like the Wirecutter site, but a little bit more about things that you have with you all the time. And their whole mantra is, does, you know, they do those pocket dump photos where you just like dump out your bag and take these great photos. And anyway, this whole everyday carry movement kind of started, I started getting into it in 2016 and started using it to find my last blank, which is kind of this mentality of like, I want to buy the last wallet I'll ever need to buy. I want to buy the last flashlight I'll ever need to buy. And that's what they're kind of about. And they have all these people that submit ideas and submit their pocket dumps and their everyday carries. And you get all these ideas. And then they link out different things in, you know, if you say, oh, that's a really cool knife, you can, it actually links out to where you can buy it. So you can actually purchase it. So I've purchased quite a few things from there. Like, for instance, if you're on YouTube, you'll see this. I purchased this really nice Kershaw knife, which I'm a huge fan of Kershaw. I also purchased a really nice flashlight. This is a Phoenix mini flashlight. Very small, waterproof, takes one AAA battery in the whole body, and it's got three brightness settings. Ooh. So it can do some, it's super nice in the summertime when we're out camping or playing around with the kids outside at night. And then the last thing that I just got, which is the Gerber Dime, which you can also find. It's a multi-tool. It's got a knife. It's got tweezers. It's got all the fun stuff that every Boy Scout wants. And it fits into a really small little package. And that was all kind of inspired from everyday carry. Oh, and this also too, the, I don't know if you guys have, let me see you guys take out your wallets really quick. Let me see what your wallets look like.
Mine's downstairs.
Oh, done. All right. Let me see the size of this wallet. Unless you have the same wallet I do, which is very possible. If you have a Costanza wallet.
I don't.
Okay, so that's a pretty small wallet. Usually, if you're like me, up until last year, I had a Costanza wallet. I had like a wallet that would dent your ass cheek, you know, if you sat on it for more than an hour. And so my friend Jeremy turned me on to Tight, T-H, or TGT. Which is essentially an elastic band. If you're on YouTube, you can see this pretty well on one side. And then on the other side, it's a nice leather, two-tone leather with a pocket that you can put your, you know, receipts into. And it fits all of your credit cards really simply and easily right here.
I don't want to try that. My
credit card number. But it has like, it's look how thin that is. I mean, that's crazy thin. It's like takes up no space. And you'd think like, okay, well, it's so small, I'm going to, you know, it's going to fly out of my pocket. But the surfaces are actually pretty rough. And this leather is like super soft.
How many cards are in your system?
So right now I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, mm-hmm. 8 cards in there right now. Okay,
I may have to try that because I think between the clip – I got a metal clip plus the leather. I think I could shrink it quite a lot.
You could. I'm sure you could, but it's T-G-H-T. It's tight, really, I think.
Yeah, I think I might get one of those, man.
It's really nice. And, you know, they have a bunch of different colors, and you could do this cool stripe thing like I did just because I liked it for some reason.
I'm just going to get whatever Chad has because he's so cool.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. I have a regular old style wallet, but every time I take a trip, I purge the wallet of I take everything out and only put back in what I need. So I tend to keep it fairly
pretty thin. Yeah. I was one of those guys that didn't do that. And so I would like never purge it. And my wallet just grew to a size that giving me scoliosis.
Like keychains, people who end up with like 50 keys on their keychain. It's like, I have 2 keys on my keychain. That's all I need.
If you're looking for a keychain, I got what you need right here, man. This is an S beaner. It's a carabiner clip, but it's an S shape. So you can actually clip it in 2 different places, which is really nice. And it's really thin and really light. And you can buy them in packs of like, I don't know, 10 or something like that. And if you have one of these, you can connect anything to it. I use it to connect my flashlight, but you could just as easily use it to connect your little multi-tool if you wanted to keep that on your backpack or like something like that. You could easily just clip it right on there and you got both things ready to go.
Ooh, we just need a GSG camping trip now. We'd be all set.
I know. I'm set, dude. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. At any given point, Chad has at least 5 knives on him.
At least.
That's good. When the bear comes, we'll just push Chad out front.
Yeah. I don't know how much damage I'll be able to do with my 3-inch blade. Just annoy the bear.
That's right. You don't need to run out outrun the bear, you know.
Yep. Just stab it in the right place.
You just push Chad out front and go.
Here you go.
Yeah, he's got cover. You don't even have to feel guilty. He's got knives.
Yep.
All right, we are, let's see, back to Chris.
Back to me. I thought I'd do something a little different. I was going to talk about one of my favorite new subreddits. So if you guys aren't already on Reddit, of course, is amazing. It's a way of kind of curating the internet to your favorite things, and then you get a constant feed of it. And if you're not already on Reddit, I'm just like assuming everybody is, but if you're not already on Reddit, you should totally check it out. And if you go to the front page and you don't like something you're seeing, then unsubscribe from that thing and subscribe to something you like. So the subreddit I do is not maybe I want to go for something a little broader. So it's not necessarily one of my super duper favorites, but I think it could be loved by everybody. And it is R Catastrophic Failure. And it's mostly videos of like giant equipment failures. Of just like cranes falling over and bridges collapsing and dams bursting.
Man. That sounds addictive.
And the reason I'm recommending it is there's a lot of subreddits where it's very repetitive, and this one actually does a pretty good job of it's a constant trickle of good new content of like circuitry breaking and just bulldozers crashing and just like a failing to have a building demolition. It's just a fun, good subreddit of seeing things explode. So. You can't go wrong with that kind of thing. I'll put a link of that with the notes.
Yeah, we may have to have a subreddit podcast here soon. That's a whole list of fun stuff.
Yeah, there we go. Kept mine short. I got one more though.
I've been digging Reddit for sure recently. I still haven't subscribed and like curated anything yet. I'm still just a homepage dummy, but I think I'm about ready to start jumping in and subscribing and doing all those fun things. All right. Let's see. What do I got in here? I had 2 more, but I'll make it quick. The one is, if you guys are doing any video, these ring lights that I've been using, if you've been enjoying my lovely, side light during this episode, Chad might have the same one. Oh, yep.
I think we all do. I'm going to just let this back.
I enjoyed it so much that I had the whole team buy these things, and, the prices move around quite a lot. On Amazon, but they're anywhere between $60 and $90 depending on when you buy it. And it's not LED, so it's not super low heat, but it's way less heat than a regular studio light. It's a halogen lamp, it's a fluorescent lamp, and it does a good job. It's a ring light, so you get those nice eye things if you put it around your camera. The real idea is to put your camera in the middle of it and then get these really nice eye highlights. It's a little tough if you have glasses, You get a lot of reflections. So I actually put mine off to the side a little bit. But for the cost, they're really good daylight balanced lights. I have two of them actually in the studio here. I'll light my face with one and do kind of a hair ring light, rim light kind of style deal. And they've just been really versatile, really low heat for what I use them for. And for all the YouTube stuff I've been doing, it's just nice to have these sitting around. So that's one. And I'll just quickly say the other one is a newer book I just got. This is Tim Ferriss's new book. It's called Tools of Titans. If you are, you know, if you're a fan of Tim Ferriss or not, I would have you go check this book out no matter what, because what this is it's not necessarily written by Tim. It is a list of tools and quotes and conversations that he's had over the last few years on his podcast. And what he does is kind of like boil down each podcast into two or three pages of actionable kind of things that that person said. So if it's a morning routine, he puts that in there. If it's a type of food, I mean, this book goes through, there's three different chapters. There's healthy, wealthy, and wise. So you can literally go through a third of this book. I mean, it's a big book, if you could see on the podcast. Whoa. Here.
Wow. That's
and
a thick one.
So hundreds. And what's nice is it's kind of choose your own adventure. You don't need to go read this giant book. And I usually, frankly, usually just read books with audio books. But for this, it's just not really practical to do so. So what I've been doing is just kind of flipping open to random pages and just seeing how other people live. I always love the idea of looking at other successful people and seeing what worked for them. And then kind of trying to find that Venn diagram on what worked for them and then also what I think might work for me. And then trying that out. That's been how I've done so many things in my life, by looking at other people that are doing or are doing something similar to what I'd like to do, seeing how they got there, and then kind of merging that with things that I'm interested in, and then just literally going and trying it. So a book like this is really fun for me to open it up and literally see how, like, Ed Catmull's in here, like quotes that he has, and how to become a better artist. He's discovered, looks like meditation's been a big part of his life. So, you know, a really interesting book. The foreword is by Arnold Schwarzenegger, actually. And he's got this great, you know, two-page foreword about how he is not a self-made man. He's learned by other people that taught him. He is the culmination of his coaches and his parents and his people that he's learned from. And I've always loved that concept of kind of human development and looking at how others have done it. It's the best thing we have as humans is stories of how other people have done it. So really interesting book. It's been really fun. I've probably only read a tenth of it so far, but been really nice. That's my pick. It's a good end of the year book too. It's a good, like, you know, reading.
I can't remember. Did you say that it's available on audio or not?
It is not available on audio. I don't know if he'll do a version on audio. Another book of his called 4-Hour Chef, I want to say it was never, I want to say it was like never officially on audio, or maybe it was 4-Hour Body, but I think a 4-Hour Body was similar, where it was more choose your own adventure. It's not a book you read through. It's not a story. It's literally two or three pages of everyone from like hip hop artists to business people to like yogis are in here, chess masters. And then it's just been really good. So if you're into, you know, kind of self-development or just interested in seeing how other people think of the world, which is kind of partly why I like it. Sometimes somebody is so backwards from how I think, but I really enjoy reading that stuff too, because it just reminds me that there's so many different ways to live. And those kind of things get me thinking in different ways. Even if I don't, you know, even if I don't use exactly what they do, it gets me thinking like, I can do this my way too. So I don't know if that's helpful. I'll put that in the links. And does that mean, Chad, does that mean you're the last one?
I guess I'm the last one.
I've got one more though.
Oh, ooh, you do have Chris. One more? Okay.
Sneaking I saved my one favorite in. One for last.
All right, we'll have Chris finish this out then. I'll do mine and then Chris will finish this out. So I gotta, to do my last one, I have to go shut my shades. I'll be right back.
Ooh, whoa, there's a demo. I gotta get the music out again for you.
Get that music going.
Dun 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 dun.
The best way.
Okay, we're back.
My latest obsession is Hue lights, and they're made by Philips. And I'm sure you've seen the commercials and you've seen them at the store, and you're like, "What are these stupid colored lights all about?" And I was one of those people until I started playing around with them. And in a studio situation where you have a backdrop, maybe you're shooting for a video, a podcast, a vlog, or something like that, having just regular incandescent bulbs on your backdrop can get really boring. So I started investing in Hue bulbs, and I got a few of them, and then I got a few more. And I really, really like them because you can operate them all with your phone, or you can use a I have a wall switch too that I put in. So when you come into the room, they'll turn on. But they have a neat little hub that connects to the internet, connects to your phone. And I can just simply go to this Hue app and just start to change the look of my lighting in my room. Like right now, you're just seeing two of my backlights. And I'll turn off. Well, I'll just change those. So I actually have a different routine based on what I'm doing for the day. So I have like all these different settings that I can click on. So if I click on, let's say, Arctic Aurora, I turned that one over there blue, and then I can change the intensity here and maybe bring it up to 100%. Although with the blue light, it doesn't really make a huge difference. So now all of the colors of my lights, I don't know if you can see that very well, are in this Arctic kind of blue. I can also come into the different scenes and just turn them all onto incandescent, regular, bright white. So that's just like a regular room light temperature right there. Let's see what else. My favorite one is probably this one, which is what I had on when we started. And it's just allows you to change the color of each light. You can do, in fact, we can pick one light. Let's pick the one that's a little bit more visible, probably the one in that back corner over there. And I can start to change the color. Ooh, if you're on YouTube. If you're in YouTube, you're seeing this. All the people just listening are just going to have to imagine this light changing colors because it's pretty cool.
It's pretty thorough.
Yeah, it's like a whole rainbow. It's not really exposing for this app very well, but let me bring the brightness down on my phone. Maybe that'll help. Let's see if this helps. So you have this rainbow that you can like swap around. And so I really, the red is kind of nice. I might actually do that. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, you look tough, man.
So the other great thing about this, oops, I should have saved that setting, is you can play a really funny practical joke on somebody if they don't know what a Hue light system is. And they come into your office and they're like, "Oh, these are cool." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, these are these talking lights. You just tell it what color you want it to be and it'll change the color." And you just have the app open in your hand over here. And they say, "Oh, really?" And you're like, "Yeah, just tell it, give it a color." And they'll be like, "Red." And then you just, with your thumb, move it over to the red. And they're like, "Oh my God." And then they'll be like, "I swear to God, when I had my family over here, I had everybody screaming colors at this light. And I was sitting here like changing it with my thumb as fast as I could." So somebody said, I think they said, some color that I didn't even like, I couldn't like think of it. Like how to, I think it might've been like, chartreuse or something like that, and I like completely didn't know and I got it wrong, and they're like, "Hey, wait, I didn't know that one." And I'm like, "Well, they're still working out the kinks."
It's more like a 8-pack of Crayola color, voice system.
Exactly. So if you have a Hue light system, they look great on video, and you can mess with your family. So that's it.
Awesome.
Very fun. All right, my last one is probably one of my favorite things of the entire year. And that is the TV show One Punch Man. Now, if you have even a passing like interest, or if you've seen just a couple like animes in your past, let's say you've watched maybe like Akira and maybe a Ninja Scroll, maybe a Vampire Hunter D, just kind of like the main ones that most people seem to know. One Punch Man is a parody cartoon that takes every anime trope and cranks it up to like 15. It is like, I watching through it, like I think it's the TV show I've enjoyed the most ever, where it's just like, it's clever. And even though they're making fun of anime tropes, they also engage on them in a way where you're engaged as well. And it's so over the top. It's so amazing. Like, I when I wasn't actively laughing, I had like a giant silly grin on my face, just thoroughly enjoying every moment of One Punch Man. It started out as a webcomic, and then it got animated in this season one. I think they're supposed to make a season two. I almost don't even want them to, because they did everything that I need them to do in season one. And yeah, I cannot recommend One Punch Man enough. And it's got the most amazing theme song too. So
that's awesome.
That's my favorite thing of the year.
Better than Cowboy Bebop's theme song?
I'd say so.
Wow. All right. I'm listening. I'm starting with the theme song, and then maybe I'll stick around. This sounds
my daughter
sounds
fun. Is so into anime that I think she's not quite to that level where she would like be able to handle a parody, because
satire.
So maybe in a few years I'll show it to her.
But it also works really well as just a straight through anime. So, but yeah, it would be great for everybody. And I also recommend watching it with Japanese English subtitles, which is my preferred way of watching any anime.
Hmm.
It's as it was intended.
Purist.
Well, we have all these links here at the show notes on YouTube, and we'll put them up on the website. You know, I'm going to put another shout out at the beginning, but let's see here. I wanted to make sure I got this right. You know what? We'll do it at the beginning. So, anybody that's interested in the shout out, that missed the beginning should go back and listen to it. That's how I'm going to do that. It's called, it's a reverse teaser.
Very nice.
Anything else for the end of the year? You know, we got I've always thought this time between Christmas and New Year's for me is a mentally interesting place. It's kind of a quiet time for me to kind of you know, there's not a lot of action going on online. There's not a lot of all the family stuff kind of gets a little quiet. Everyone's traveling, and for me this time has always been a big brainstorm and plan time. I know it is for a lot of people at the end of the year. You know, mostly just wanted to encourage you guys. Anything that you put on your list last year that didn't end up getting done, or that you're bummed you didn't stick with as long as you wanted to, whether it's a render project, a big project you wanted to start, whether that's a part of your business, part of your family, part of your health. It's a good time to start writing stuff down. I've always believed, at least in trying to write down where you want to go, and understanding that, you know, your intention is what starts any action, is the thought of it, that it's possible, is what really starts any big action in your life. So I just encourage anybody just to sit with some paper and write down what the heck you're thinking. Just get it out of your brain for a second. Start to look at it. So kind of a just end of the year little piece for you, for anybody listening. It's been helping me quite a lot throughout the years. Anything you guys do at the end of the year that you might want to recommend? Other than, like, I also drink very heavily, so, like, if that helps anybody else.
I cleaned my office and, like, kind of decluttered, I guess. Mm. Which is nice, because, you know, a lot of times working up to a holiday, you're doing a lot of different things, really busy, and you kind of push things off. So I try to use this time to, like, dust and clean my office and reorganize it so that it's a place. I'm a big believer in creating a space in which you want to be in and you want to create in, which is why I, you know, have all this junk everywhere. And for me, I want to create an environment that I go to every day that I'm excited to go to, that I want to be in. And so for me, I use this time to, like, clear off stuff, maybe put up a few items that I've been meaning to put up, or find a good place for a new toy or new sculpture or new book to sit on the shelf, and just kind of get my office reset.
Hmm. Good. Chris, you have any habits at the end of the year?
I sure do. It's kind of the opposite of what you guys are talking about, though. What I do in December, kind of, you know, December, January, is for 1 month I get Netflix and I catch up on everything. I just watch everything on Netflix. So this entire break has been nothing but Netflix. Like, I've been watching Black Mirror and
okay, so
Dark Matter and everything. And but then for the other 11 months, I do not have Netflix.
So this is turn it off.
Are you sleeping? Yeah. Are you eating? Like, what are you just like living in front of Netflix?
Well, we just had a bunch of days off, so that's like awesome. I'm still doing all my other things. You know, I still visited family and all that, but all my free time is going to Netflix.
Have you seen? All right, I'm going to give you my favorite Netflix shows, and you tell me if you've seen them yet. Luke Cage.
No.
Daredevil.
I haven't done any of the Marvel yet. Yeah.
No?
None of the Marvel superhero.
Start with Daredevil and Jessica Jones, because those are the two that will lead you into Luke Cage, which are all three are fantastic shows. I don't know if you're into that universe or not, but they are great shows. House Cards, you got to watch that. That's a good
one. Of course.
I was looking for new shows not that long ago, and I didn't really I didn't find anything that I liked, and now we're doing Homeland, which apparently was a really good show. I don't know if it's still on the air or not. It probably is, but it started I think six years ago, and so we're just now watching that and catching up. But yeah, dude, you gotta watch Luke Cage, man. It's so good.
All right, so I have two for you. The Tom Petty documentary. That's probably my favorite one. There's also the Eagles documentary, which I'm not a fan, I guess.
Eagles.
I become a fan of the Eagles every time I watch this documentary because it's such a great film. There was one more. Oh, there's A History of Hip Hop. I forget the name of it right now, but that's really good on Netflix.
I'm sensing a theme on Nick's picks.
Yeah, the History of Hip Hop one, I forget the name of it. If anybody knows, put it in the comments, and maybe I'll go find it. But it's like a six-piece story of like the start and as it builds, and it basically ends in the 90s. It's like, and then hip hop was made. It's just this really intro, how it got started thing. Really, really good. But dude, 1 month of Netflix. I love that.
1 month of just splurging on Netflix. And it's not just Netflix. It's also like the Amazon Prime. Like, that's why I watched The Witch. That's why, I've been working my way through a bunch of movies I missed throughout the year. And yeah, it's been, I didn't know it was a habit of mine until like winter break was coming up. I was like, I don't have anything specific to do. It's like, let's get Netflix. I was like, wait, I've done this the last 3 years.
I love it.
So
I feel like there's like this resurgence of, horror movie. I don't even want to call them horror movies because they're more like just like they don't always fall under horror. But I feel like it's now with production companies like Dark Castle and something with the word house in it. I forget the name of that production company. These production companies are kind of using
Blumhouse, yeah.
Yeah, they're using these this format as a way to kind of launch new directors. And there's been some really good films to come out of that. Like I think maybe The Witch might be one of them actually, but,
and that's a first time director as well.
Yeah. And then the other film that I watched that's similar, that's actually produced by Sam Raimi. I watched it over a couple days ago. It's called Don't Breathe. And that was a really good movie too. And I think that was part of that same thing. And I think there's another movie that kind of feels similar to that. It's the one called It Follows. Have you seen that?
I know all about it, but I have not seen it.
That's another one. So those are two
I've heard that one's really
two cute. Movies you should definitely check out is It Follows and Don't Breathe, because those are, they're not necessarily horror, but they're really weird and crazy. Anyway, sweet. We could do a whole other podcast on movies.
Yeah.
we need another, I mean, I'm sure the world doesn't need another podcast network, but we need the Netflix podcast. We need the movie podcast, the Everyday Carry podcast. We got we could do the Reddit lists.
Reddit digest.
My favorite thing. No, just my slipper. I just realized I just blew out a giant hole in my favorite slippers. I'm super bummed.
Will 2016 ever stop?
I know, dude. Will the horrors ever end?
Now your slippers. Now
God. Oh, that's the worst.
You need new ones.
Yep.
All right, friends and lovers, happy 2017. Hope you had a productive, successful year. We will see you next year. I always love that joke. We're going to keep the podcast rolling. And for now, we'll see you in another podcast. Thanks again, guys, for stopping by in between some holidays. And we'll see you in another one real soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Happy New Year.